Welcome here. I'm glad you've decided to join us on this sunny long weekend. We could take the next few minutes to huddle up and say what we're going to do today and tomorrow, but we'll leave it at that. Other than I'll say Maureen and I have the privilege of leaving Thursday morning early to head up to Grand Prairie for 2 weeks to spend time with our daughter, her partner, and we got a few friends up there and I got some relatives, so I think we'll be okay. A little boy came home from Sunday school, and his mother asked the usual question, "Johnny, what did you learn today in Sunday school?" And little Johnny says, "I learned about the books of the Bible." "Oh, what did you learn?" "Well, I learned that it starts with generations, and it ends with revolutions, and there's this book of spasms in the middle." Well, this morning we begin our summer journey into the book of Psalms, not spasms, so just make sure you get that right. And over these next 2 months, we will hear from several people in our church who will share in various ways from a favorite psalm of theirs. And I have given them much freedom, so come with open, receptive hearts, come with words of encouragement. Some of these folks have not done this kind of thing before. It's a big deal. That they've stepped into this, and it's going to be good. I haven't told them what to say, of course, that's not my prerogative, give them some outline, guidelines, but I'm looking forward to, other than we'll miss the first two, unfortunately, but we'll listen to them online, maybe on our drive home. Today, my goal is to give us a big picture, sort of a 30,000-foot view of the book of Psalms, and hopefully whet your appetite for what is to come. All right. Quiz time. You know I'm a teacher at heart, so get ready. What do you know about the Psalms? Just call out something, put your hand up, call out. What do you know about the book of Psalms? A lot of them written by David. How many? Good. You'll hear it on the video in a minute. I think 73 is what they say.
I was
going to
say a lot of them are by David.
Good. Poetry, yes. Lament, praise, wisdom, honesty. Yeah, just a little bit, eh? Five books, yeah. Music, yeah. History, sure. Okay, let me change the question now, a different question. What do you appreciate? What have you come to love about the Psalms to this point in your life? Right. They're applicable to every kind of situation in life. Absolutely. Sorry? God's love, yes. I'm just going to camp on Alice's comment. Maureen knows what I'm going to say. I was going to say this, but so I've been reading through the book of Psalms in preparation for summer, and just because I haven't done that for a while. And yesterday morning, I was in Psalm 38, and a verse jumped out at me because it said something to the effect like, "Oh Lord, why am I in extreme back pain?" I'm like, I didn't know that was in the book of Psalms, but it relates to all situations. As I've been having more back pain this last month or so, my injections I think are wearing off, and I have to go for another top up. But yeah, what else? What do you appreciate about the book of Psalms? You get to fly like eagles. Yeah. I thought that was Isaiah, but that's okay. Yes. We'll stand and praise. Just being able to praise God through reading the Psalms. Yes. Right. Some of them are prophetic, like the parts of the book of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, my bones are broken. Prophetic. Yeah, encouraging in times of sadness, pain, weariness, and then we can keep filling in the blanks, right? Authentic emotions. I like that. Thanks, Karen. There's just something raw, real. Can't think of another R word, so we'll leave it there. Yeah. The Psalms are rich. They are compelling. They draw us in. We can learn together from them. And there's just, we could spend the rest of the morning talking about different parts, and we will do some of that. But I'm going to stop talking now and let Carrie play a short 8-minute video from the Bible Project that gives a big overview of the book of Psalms and see if some of the things that were shared this morning you can relate, and maybe you can learn something new from that. So go ahead. So hopefully that you found that helpful, and maybe you've learned something that you didn't know before. So as we heard, the book of Psalms is a collection of poetry, prayers, and even hymns, although it's not a hymn book. Focuses the worshiper on who God is and what he's done. And many of these psalms were sung or read as part of the early ancient times of worship together. And as somebody mentioned, they're also often accompanied with musical instruments. So over time, the Psalms eventually became referred to as the Book of Psalms. And interestingly enough, this is exactly what Jesus calls it in Luke chapter 20, where Jesus says, David himself declares in the Book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. And then later, Peter in Acts chapter 1 says this, it is written in the Book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. So there it is, the Book of Psalms. Now, the best way to read the Book of Psalms is to pull out your Hebrew Bible and have at it. That's the original language in which it was written. Unfortunately, most of us can't do that, and I must confess that I myself am a Hebrew dropout. Tried it 3 weeks in seminary. I could not, I managed the Greek, but the Hebrew, it's all backwards, and I finally had enough. And that was that. So fortunately, we have English translations of the Hebrew, which makes it much more understandable. But we do need to remember that because it was written in an ancient language, it makes it more important that we understand the meaning and interpretation as it wraps around that time period. So we can't just plunk out a verse or two and go, hey, that's exactly for me today. The principles are there, but it was written for a specific time period. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't speak to us today. In fact, even though it seems outdated, it's not. It is still the inspired Word of God, but it does mean that we do need to read it in the context and in the era in which it was written. Well, one way to know that the Psalms are the inspired Word of God is by the number of times they are quoted in the New Testament. So here's quiz number two. Which book is quoted the most in the New Testament, the quote Psalms the most? Take a guess. Sorry? No, which book of the New Testament, quotes Psalms the most, or from the book of Psalms? Did you say that? I take everything back about Jehovah Jireh. Yes, Jeremy's right. The book of Hebrews, 37 times, quotes from the book of Psalms. Which author quotes from the book of Psalms the most? Paul. Figured that's what somebody would say right off the bat. That's right. Not bad guess, right? He wrote a good part of the New Testament. 31 times, John 15 times, James, the brother of Jesus, 4 times, and Peter 3 times. So here's the trick question. How many times does Jesus himself quote from the book of Psalms? Come on, this is for a big box of chocolates. I don't have it here yet, but... Five times. Double that and add one. There you go. Good math. Yeah. Jesus quotes from the book of Psalms 11 times. And we won't go into all of those. So the main purpose for Psalms, as you heard, is for teaching God's people how to live life. And we're going to dig into that over the course of this summer. And it's going to be rich, it's going to be good. Well, the Psalms can be grouped a number of ways. And the most common is by categories. And the video talked about two main categories. Did you pick those up? Lament and praise. Okay. Actually, Tim Mackey's a smart guy, but scholars will actually divide the book of Psalms into as many as 9 categories. Now, we're not going to look at all 9 this morning, But for the rest of our time, we're going to look at what's considered the five main categories. And the way I want to do that is Maureen has asked five different people to read a psalm that will reflect one of those five main categories. And then we're going to just kind of unpack a little bit. And so I'm calling this a blitz through the book of Psalms. So I ask you to buckle your Bible seatbelts and get ready for this quick overview through the book of Psalms. Are you ready? Are you ready? Please. I know it's a long weekend. You're already thinking about lunch. All right. I would ask too, as they're scripted from the NIV, so I would invite you to, when I say the psalm, to read it along or follow along in your Bible or if you've got it on your Bible app, because I'm going to ask a couple of questions after each psalm. So as you're following, if you have your Bible there, it's easier to pick things out too as you're following along. So we're going to begin with Psalm 15 in a minute. It's a wisdom psalm. So what makes a psalm a wisdom psalm? Thank you, Brian. Yes, of course. They typically reflect on themes of wisdom, often contrasting the fate of the righteous versus the fate of the wicked, and on the law. And they are also very, much more reflective and meditative in their tone. And I appreciated the songs this morning, Eddie. More reflective. That's often what the wisdom literature is about. All right, with that in mind, Psalm 15. Who's reading? So if you got your Bible and your Bible app, turn to Psalm 15 and follow along, please.
Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.
Right on. Thanks, Don. So did you notice anything about this psalm? Anything that jumped out at you? Questions and answers. Yeah, it gives some questions, gives some answers. I heard somebody over here. How God wants us to live. That's the wisdom part of the psalm, and that's woven through all of the psalms as well. How to be holy, how to fear God. And each, of course, ends, as many do, with a promise. And what's the promise? Say it, Ken. I saw your lips moving. Stand forever. Yeah, not be shaken. Yeah. So that's a wisdom psalm. Let's try a royal or a kingship psalm in Psalm 21. And as the title would indicate, it simply refers to a psalm that's talking either about the earthly king, so like King David, or about the heavenly king. And so Angela's going to read this a little bit longer, Psalm 21, but follow along in your Bibles, please.
Psalm 21. The king rejoices in your strength, Lord. How great is his joy in the victories you give. You have granted him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. Through the victories you gave, his glory is great. You have bestowed on him splendor and majesty. Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken. Your hand will lay hold on all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. When you appear for battle, you will burn them up as in a blazing furnace. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and his fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, their posterity from mankind. Though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed. You will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with drawn bow. Be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing and praise your might.
Thanks, Angela. So a psalm about kingship. And you heard in there, among other things, the king of Israel acknowledging God as the giver of strength and the giver of victories. So a high respect for worship. Then we come to the very familiar lament psalms. And a lament psalm is exactly that. It's a lament, it's a complaint, it's a crying out to God for help and questioning, that kind of thing. But after a lament is over, it often ends with a focus on praise. So Psalm 54 is one of the psalms, one of the many lament psalms that gives us a kind of an overview. And Harv, I think you're going to read that there for us. So Psalm 54, if you want to follow along.
Psalm 54, save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes.
Thanks, Herb. So did you notice the pattern, typical pattern of a lament? You start with a cry out to God, then you bring your complaint, you just kind of dump it all out to God, you ask for help, and then this ended with an expression of praise. I'm not going to say any more about that because later in August, Maureen is going to dig into Psalm 13, which is probably the most familiar psalm of lament. All right, fourth category is Psalms of Thanksgiving. And we're going to look at the little small Psalm 100. And if you're familiar with the Psalms, that's probably where your mind went when you hear the word Thanksgiving. And we're going to find out a little bit of what does a Thanksgiving Psalm sound like.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness will continue through all generations.
Thank you, Janet. So did you catch the descriptive words there? Shout, serve, enter, praise. Where's the focus of this Thanksgiving psalm? On God, on the Lord, yeah. All right, and then our fifth category, the last psalm, 150, and this is a psalm of praise. And some say, well, there's not a big difference between praise and thanksgiving. There actually is, but we're not going to unpack that too much here this morning. Just wanted to give you an overview. And so follow along as we read Psalm 150.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Betty. Key word, you caught that, if you want to count, 13 times in these six verses. The word praise is used. So it makes it pretty obvious why this one is in the praise category, and very, very encouraging. So there you have it. A very quick overview, a very quick walk through the entire book of Psalms, focusing on five key themes. So let me ask you this as we wrap up. Why read and study the Psalms? I'll ask you. Why should we read? Why should we study the Psalms? Comfort. Wisdom. Guidance. Encouragement. Process our emotions. Prayer. It is a prayer book. Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I felt drawn to have us do this summer Psalms series, because there's so much in it. Some of the things that I came up with, we read and study the Psalms because, number one, it's God's word. It encourages us in our everyday walk with God. These are real people expressing real emotions. Provides comfort, hope. It helps us understand God's nature, his character. And they reveal practical truth. And as was mentioned, they also teach us about prayer and how to pray. And they are easy to read. Mostly. Okay, some they're not overly complicated, but sometimes there's stuff in there like, I don't get that, but they are fairly easy to read. So I am excited for this summer series. And as I said, over the next 2 months, we'll be hearing from 10 different people and within our congregation. And I think it's going to be refreshing. It's going to be encouraging. And I want to say thanks in advance to all of you who've willingly stepped in and responded to my invitation. And so we'll kick it off next week with Keith, Psalm 23. But here's what I want to leave you with. A challenge. Well, two challenges over the summer. Are you up for a challenge? You thought summer is just for kicking back and going to the beach? Uh-uh. You could do that too, but you can also do this while you're at the beach. First challenge. Read through the book of Psalms this summer. What a concept. I mean, I know there's 150, so like I'm doing one a day, but I started like 30-some days ago because I knew what was coming. But read what you can. Maybe you want to read more than a psalm a day. But I would challenge you to read through the book of Psalms over these next 9 weeks or so. Then here's the other one. If you've never done this, I would challenge you to write your own 151st psalm. Sacrilege. We're not supposed to add to Scripture. That's not what I'm saying. But take some time over the next few weeks. Pick a theme of lament or of praise or of thanksgiving and just start jotting things down and put it into kind of a psalm poem-like form. And you might find it quite refreshing. I've done this several times over the years and with groups of people, with smaller groups. And if you do that, I would invite you to send me your written word. I won't read it in front of everybody. That's not the point. But I get encouraged by when I read people's own interpretation of how they would write a psalm. So there's your two challenges. Read through the book of Psalms this summer and consider writing your own psalm on one of the themes that would be of interest to you. So that's where we're going to be heading. All right, I'm going to close with prayer, invite Eddie and the team to come up and lead us in a final song. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity that we have before us to step into studying through the book of Psalms. So much in there, and we're only going to really scratch the surface. But I pray a blessing on those who have agreed to share, that you would strengthen them in their spirit, that you would give them words. Many of them are going to share personally and testimonial as to why this psalm meant so much to them. But we can learn through that, and we can relate. And so I'll bless those who will be sharing, and bless us as a congregation as we receive, as we hear, we listen. And then may we apply. And whether that's taking these challenges and reading through Psalms this summer, even writing our own psalm, Lord, may we make these teaching times coming up practical and relevant, and may they continue to be part of the process of transforming us into the people that you have called us to be, and to where we love you more and we feel the freedom to express that love to you. So thank you for this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.